so tell me when you want me to start.
Go for it.
The World in Words is made possible in parts by the National Endowment for the Humanities, celebrating 50 years of excellence.
Nina Porzuki here with
Patrick Cox, and you're listening to The World in Words, a podcast about languages and the people who speak them.
Today, Patrick, as you know, we have a name tag story. Name tag is our occasional series on the stories behind place names. Patrick, before we get into the story, I actually have a little name tag quiz for us to try out first. And you should do pretty well at this, Patrick, because it's a quiz concerning the pronunciation of town names around Norfolk.
Oh, yeah. Norfolk. I went to college in Norfolk. The University of East Anglia, which gives you a sense of the geography of it. It's that sort of bit that sticks out above London.
Yes.
Into the North Sea.
Yeah, so we're talking Norfolk, England here and not Virginia. Okay, so how this is going to work is I am going to spell out a town name.
Uh-huh.
And you're just going to tell me how it's pronounced.
In Norfolk.
Yeah,
Norfolk,
like how the Norfolkians, what have you? Like,
the people of Norfolk.
The people of Norfolk would say this name.
Mm. The only pronunciation I could do for people from Norfolk, we would kind of laugh about the local accent. There was just this one line, "Are you going down the pub?" That's it. "Are you going down the pub?" It was kind of slow, and then it rose at the end
this
of each
sentence.
This is
like sentence. The accent? Are you
this,
going down the
This was the kind of local accent.
In Norfolk.
Yeah. So we would say that to each other probably on a nightly basis.
This is the East Anglian accent?
Yeah. Or maybe a specific Norfolk one. I don't know. Huh. But "are you going down the pub?"
Okay. So do you need a piece of paper and a pen to write these down?
Oh, sure. Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. So the first one. It is spelt W-Y-M-O-N-D-H-A-M.
Oh, yeah. I know this place because we used to go to parties here in my friend Reinhardt's Rotten Red Renault. Reinhardt's Rotten Red Renault. If you sat in the passenger seat and got out of the door that side, you took the door with you. It wasn't attached to the rest of the car.
So you're driving around Norfolk in the Rotten Red Renault.
Yes. And okay. And we would go to parties in this town. Wyndham is how it's pronounced.
Ding, 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 ding. Correct. Wyndham. You get one point.
And I think I remember it specifically because I'm guessing anyway, because I've got those strong images of Reinhardt's Rotten Red Renault.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm afraid. Wyndham, I can't remember in any other way.
To me, it looks like Wymondham.
Yeah, crazy. We must have gone through this the first time we went there. been corrected.
Okay, so there's so many good ones, but I'm going to give you this next.
Okay.
Okay. Stiffkey. And I hope everybody out there is also playing along. Stiffkey.
Okay, so it looks like it's pronounced stiff key, but it clearly isn't. So what shall I say? Stucky.
Super close, actually.
Oh, really?
It's Stooky.
Stooky. Oh, really? So they just get rid of the
IFF. Stooky.
Stooky.
They get rid of the IFF. Yeah. So it's like Stooky. Okay, let me see. TACOLNESTON. It's a village in South Norfolk. TACOLNESTON.
Oh my goodness. When you said TACO, taco.
I know, that's why I like this one. I was like, it's taco. It's a town about tacos.
But
no,
then
we're very far from any
but,
place making tacos in this place.
Tacos. I don't even know how you would pronounce it if you were just doing it in a standard English way, if there's such a thing as a
Tacolneston? Tacolneston?
Tuxton. Tuxton. How about that?
Tacklestone.
Oh, for goodness sake.
If you say it really fast, Tacklestone, 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 Tacklestone. Okay, final one.
I'm one for three.
You're one for three. Okay. Okay, final one. Mundesley. So again, that's Mundesley.
So again,
it's a coastal village.
The sort of, oh, well, it's quite possible I went there. We went to the coast quite a lot. Mundersley. Mundersley would be sort of an outsider's guess, but it clearly isn't that. Otherwise, it wouldn't have made your dastardly list.
No.
Munsley.
Oh my God, ding, ding, ding.
Oh, really?
You totally got it. It's Munsley.
I think I'm getting a pattern here, though.
What it's is
just,
it?
They just sort of drop some middle syllable or two.
But you turned the S into a Z, which is very smart.
Munsley.
Munsley. I couldn't figure out any of these. These all come from an article, by the way, where this news organization got one of their foreign reporters to try and pronounce all of these village names, and he did it horribly wrong. And it's so funny. Anyway, so Patrick, did you know there's actually a term for this kind of study of names?
I do now.
Onomology? Onomology, is that right?
Onomastics.
Onomastics. Judith Yesh is the president of the English Place Name Society. This is a group of academics and regular folks who just nerd out about names.
In the names of towns and villages, which haven't really changed for centuries, you can read the whole history of the country. It's really fascinating from that point of view.
Like the 8th and 9th century, the period when the Vikings came to the British Isles. Judith herself is a professor of Viking studies at the University of Nottingham. And she fell in love with the Nordic warriors and medieval history as a teenager.
I'd read my Tolkien. A lot of medievalists start out as fans of Tolkien.
I like that it all started with Tolkien.
I can't stand him now, but
really?
You know, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed to admit that that's kind of where I started off as a 14-year-old.
Judith went on to learn Old Norse. She studies runes. She also studies place names.
You know, I'm interested in all aspects of the Viking Age, and one of the most important bits of evidence for Vikings in the British Isles, certainly, is the really quite large number of Scandinavian place names.
Oh, so it's almost like we're back in Norfolk again, or at least up and down the eastern English coast, because that was where a load of those Viking names stuck.
Right.
Right, all of those names that end B-Y,
like
Danish,
Darby.
And Grimsby. If Old Norse is the same as modern Norwegian and Danish, B-Y means town. By. And then there's also up in Yorkshire, the Yorkshire Dales, which are sort of valleys. The word dale, D-A-L, means valley and
in Old Norse.
Well, I don't know about Old Norse, or but in New...
in New Norse.
The newer versions of it.
So you can see a lot of how the Vikings came to the British Isles through just the names of the towns that stuck. Getting back to that Norfolk quiz that I gave you and the pronunciation of place names, there's another thing that I chatted about with Judith that was really interesting, and it was about how actually pronunciation can influence the naming of a place.
So we have a place here near Nottingham called Fiskerton, and it was originally a village of fishermen, so it should be Fisherton. But in the Old Norse language, the word for fish is fisk, and the word for a fisherman is fisker, so you get Fiskerton instead of Fisherton. You know, it's an English name, but it was pronounced by the Scandinavian incomers with their Scandinavian accent, if you like, and it's retained that pronunciation.
So Fisherton became Fiskerton because of the way some Vikings pronounced it like centuries ago.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, and the word fisk today in Danish and Norwegian is fish.
There you go. Which brings me to our story today. So I first started thinking about pronunciation and place names a few years ago when I went to visit this small New Hampshire town. It's like way, way up north in the Great Northern Woods near the Canadian border. It's spelt B-E-R-L-I-N. So, Patrick, how do you think you would pronounce that?
Oh, no, this is another trick question, I know. Well, I would pronounce it the way that the well-known city capital of Germany is pronounced, right? But that's clearly wrong. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking me. Berlin.
Berlin. No, totally wrong. while it is spelled like the German capital, it's not pronounced Berlin. It's pronounced Berlin. You know, emphasis on the first syllable. It's very, very subtle. Berlin, not Berlin. Berlin. I mean, people will correct you up there. I mean, they will correct you.
Will they correct Berliners from Germany? I suppose they would do, yeah.
I mean, because they're not in Berlin. They're in Berlin. Mm. So I got curious about why this name and why this pronunciation. And so I called up some experts.
New Hampshire Historical Society, Malia Ebel speaking. Hello? Hello?
Malia told me Berlin was actually originally named Mainsboro.
M-A-Y-N-E-S-B-O-R-O-U-G-H. Mainsboro.
In 1829, the town changed its name to Berlin. As for the pronunciation, Malia didn't know much.
And that's not something that I have any documentation on. I mean, Concord is pronounced differently than Concord.
Yeah.
And so it could just be a regional accent as well.
To get to the bottom of this, it seems that I needed to ask some real Berliners. So I did.
Oh, okay. Is that a question that I should know? I don't know why they didn't do it. Berlin and Berlin instead. I don't know. It's so confusing and weird.
I met Marissa Hickbottom on Main Street in Berlin. She's not actually from there. She happens to be from the neighboring town of Milan. That's M-I-L-A-N.
People call it Milan, so maybe it's just this area that can't be pronounced right. I'm not sure.
Berlin's not a big place.
Somewhere, you know, between a couple of mountains behind, you know, a couple of trees behind a boulder.
Berlin was once a bustling log and sawmill town. The Androscoggin River cuts through the heart of the town. Talking to folks on Main Street, there seem to be as many theories as there are Berliners. I mean, Berliners.
I know around World War I, there was a huge anti-German movement. And things that were had German names were changed. So I think Berlin probably got this pronunciation at that time. It's a kind of attempt to diminish the Germanic impression. But I don't know.
I'm going to say it probably generated from the French, you know, because the French population here back in the day, everybody settled down from Canada. So I'm going to say probably because of that, maybe that's why it's called what it is, maybe.
I guess it depends on where you're from and what your accent's all about, though. Because I'm like, I used to live in Bangor, and a lot of people from out of town call it Bangor. And we're really Bangor. But Berlin, I don't know, I guess it just depends on where you're from.
There's one man in town guaranteed to know the truth, I was told. Merlin's resident historian,
Nina?
Paul
Hi.
Tarth.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah, that's me.
Nice to meet you.
Hi. How are you?
Good to see you.
I have my girlfriend here. This is Pam. She's a librarian.
Hi, Pam.
Paul has his own unique name, Poof.
You can walk around Berlin and ask people if they know Paul Tarth. They don't know him. But if you ask if they know Poof, of course I know Poof.
What's the story? What's the story as you know it, to be fact?
What do you want to know for a fact? Okay, the closest I know about Berlin becoming Berlin is...
Drumroll is nothing. Poof doesn't know.
So it's unknown whether you were named after the German town, or if you were named after another town in New England, or...
That's right, it's unknown. And my research shows that it's unknown.
Poof's comb through archives and books. No definitive evidence, no smoking gun. There's just a little clue about its pronunciation.
What I found is that the Yankees that first came here, once they changed the name from Mainsboro to Berlin, their pronunciation was on the first syllable, Berlin, and not on the second syllable.
Okay, I was a bit skeptical. But then Poof told me something interesting. There are actually four Berlins in New England, and all four of them have the same pronunciation. It's a little weird. I thought, I just have to go to another one. So I went just outside of Boston to Berlin, Massachusetts. And there I met the Poof Tardif of Berlin, Massachusetts. His name is Barry Yeager, and he is the chairman of Berlin, Massachusetts Historical Society.
My family has been in Berlin since this town began. The ancestors of mine that were here at the time that the town was incorporated.
In 1784.
In 1784, yeah.
Wow.
Berlin, Mass was named in 1784 in the wake of the Revolutionary War. And in those raw few years after the war, Yankees did not want to name their new towns after the English.
It's likely that a German name was picked rather than an English name because of feelings toward Britain at that time.
No Germans, though, that you know of in the area.
No, there was never any significant German immigrant population here. it was all Yankees that were here at the time. And so they anglicized the name immediately.
They said it the way it sounded most naturally. And Yeager has proof.
We have a deed in our historical collection from the year 1784 that spells the name of the town B-A-R-L-I-N-G. Officially, it was spelled B-E-R-L-I-N from the beginning. In the act of the legislature, it was spelled the same as the capital of Germany. However, it was not pronounced that way by the locals. And because they didn't pronounce it that way, it led to people writing it in the way that they were hearing it. And that's where that misspelling in the deed comes from. So from the very beginning, local settlers anglicized the word Berlin and made it Berlin or Barlin from the very beginning.
So back in Berlin, New Hampshire, today you're more likely to hear the remnants of a French accent. Many of the town residents are the descendants of French-speaking loggers who came to work the sawmills and log the Great North Woods. And you can actually see French history in some of the street names, like Le Boissier Street. Sorry I murdered that pronunciation, but it roughly translates to Man of the Woods. French, though, unlike the theory that you heard earlier in the story, doesn't seem to have much to do with how the town pronounces its German name. Incidentally, the town did briefly flirt with the idea of changing its name during World War I, according to Poof Tardif.
You've clipped the newspaper from February 14th, Valentine's Day, 1918. I wonder if you might read that with the headlines and everything.
I can. This was from the Berlin Reporter, Berlin, New Hampshire, Thursday, February 14th, 1918. A change was advocated by many Berlin citizens. We do not object to the name Berlin, but we do object to the horrors and the frightfulness in its connection with the Imperial German government. Let us respect the honor and manhood of our boys in the trenches. What do you say, citizens of Berlin, about a change? What is in a name?
The town didn't change its name, not even temporarily. In the end, it was going to be too much of a bureaucratic nightmare, says Poof. And so Berlin remains Berlin, the Franco-American town with a German name and a Yankee pronunciation.
Yankee Doodle never went to town. I've just discovered the story was phony. Let me give you all the real lowdown. He didn't even own a pony. He was really very short and fat, while in the story so skinny and moany, and so hungry that he ate his hat and called the feather macaroni. Underneath the chestnut tree, he and the blacksmith would sip their tea. Then he'd bring out his xylophone all low down. That's how he went to town. Yankee Doodle tried to leave one day, took his belongings and mounted his saddle. But he never started on his way, since he didn't have a pony and the fairy tale is phony. How could Yankee Doodle go to town?
I wish you'd asked me how to pronounce Poof. That would have been much more fun.
That's like the best nickname ever. He actually gave me a whole story about how he became named Poof. It was actually the nickname of his dad, who used to tell stories about hunting, and when he would like shoot the gun, he would go poof, 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 poof. And so they nicknamed his dad Poof.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So he's, strictly speaking, he's Poof Jr.
He's Poof too, yeah. He's Poof Jr. Puff, poof.
I must admit, when I first moved to New England, I was very confused. I think a lot of English people are particularly confused when they go to New England because they see all of these towns that they think they know how to pronounce. And they're a bit different, like, you know, like the Berlin one, but they're towns in England for the most part. And so it's really confusing to English people because suddenly you're confronted by a different pronunciation, sometimes slightly different spelling as well. So there's Woburn.
Woburn,
right?
Mass, yeah.
Woburn, Mass, right. Why is it pronounced Woo? Is there a single O there?
So it should be like Woburn.
Should be Woburn, which is Woburn. What the name of the town, I believe, the town in England is pronounced Woburn.
I actually got corrected on Woburn when I first moved here. I was like, Woburn.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? There's no town called Woburn.
Woburn.
It's Woburn.
Yeah, they, like, should, they should either have double so O. Weird. They should either have, yeah, W-O-O-B-U-R-N or W-U. Woburn.
Yeah, W-U. Woburn. Mm.
So. And then there's another one a little bit north of Woburn called Bill Ricker. This one is totally weird. So it's B-I-L-L-E-R-I-C-A.
Billerica.
Billerica. But they got rid of the E. They just, that just gets dropped from the pronunciation. So they'd lose a syllable, Billerica. But the town in England that they borrowed it from is Billericay. So it's the same spelling with a Y at the end.
Oh.
Billericay in Essex.
Oh.
And, yeah.
It actually should be Billericay, right? Because it's an A-Y. A-Y.
Although I think the Brits pronounce it Billericay.
Billericay.
Billericay. Yeah. It's nice. And in fact, it's so pleasant sounding that Ian Dury, the singer, he did a very famous song called Billericay Dicky.
Good evening. I'm from Essex, in case you couldn't tell. My given name is Dicky. I come from Billericay, and I'm doing very well. It's a love affair with Nina in the back of my Cortina.
I mean, you can hear already, it's kind of catchy.
Is it a nice place, Billericay?
I don't think I've ever been there.
You just know the song.
I just know the song.
You are some Joyce and Vicky. If candy floss is sticky, I'm not a blinking thicky. I'm Billericay Dicky, and I'm doing very well.
Do you have an onomastic question? A good name tag story? Tell us. You can tweet at us at LingoPod.
Or email us. The address is language@pri.org.
This week we have a new accent quiz for you. You heard it up at the top of the show. Take your wildest guess. Here you go.
The World in Words is made possible in parts by the National Endowment for the Humanities, celebrating 50 years of excellence.
And that's all for this week and this edition of Name Tag. Thanks so much for listening.
God, we could have talked about Leominster as well.
Leominster? Yeah,
Leominster, Leominster.
Where is that?
It's out on Route 2. Yeah.
Oh.